Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
We've got a great show for you this week. First, we have some headlines. We are bringing in two reporters to talk about the recent Border Patrol raid in Kern County. And then we'll conclude with what we're loving this week. Donnie, it's been a while since we've done some headlines, a couple weeks, in fact. What's new? What's going on? We've got some people being sworn into office. We have a lot of things in motion. It's a new year. We're about to get a new presidential administration. What's been going on in Fresno?
It was a celebratory week for all of our elected officials. We got a new city council member, Nick Richardson, sworn in to the Fresno City Council.
I heard he hiked.
He hiked 15 miles.
Is that kind of after Dyer rode his bicycle in? Now everyone's just going to try and one up, and then someone's going to carry weights from North
Fresno. I hope so. Personally, unnecessary, but
it's a sweet gesture.
It's a nice gesture, way to show your commitment. We're excited to have a new person to roast and interrogate at City Hall. And then there were lots of pleasantries around the outgoing council members, Gary Bredefeld and Luis Chavez, who are moving to the Board of Supervisors. They said lots of awkward things to each other.
Were they like wearing cowboy hats or something?
They were gifted cowboy hats. And
that's adorable.
Not unintentionally, Gary Bredefeld was given a black hat and Luis Chavez was given a white hat.
Oh, wow. Shots fired. Okay.
Shots fired. Gary Bredefeld was invited to Splash by Miguel Arias and had a very funny face that he made when he was invited.
Can I go too?
Same. What else happened? The council approved some new cricket fields coming to the Jesuants Singh Kalra Park in West Fresno. I think it's the first cricket field that we're getting.
That's incredible. We're going to have like leagues and stuff.
There already is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's a Fresno cricket club.
I don't. Do you understand cricket?
No.
Yeah. I've heard that the game, I've heard a couple things. It's one of the most watched sports in the world.
Correct.
And that it's very complicated and the matches are long.
I don't know about those things, but sure, why not? But yeah, no, we already have a Fresno Cricket Club, and so they're very excited about this.
Hey, for cricket fields.
Yeah. We also, Fresno Economic Opportunities Commission, also known as Fresno EOC, has quietly let their former executive, Emilia Reyes, go, and they've brought on temporarily their former CEO, Brian Angus, to steer the ship. This comes as there's been some allegations of financial mismanagement and requests for a forensic audit. They're currently in a deficit, so there's a lot more to uncover at EOC, which is a very large nonprofit organization that's really meant, it was formed in the 1960s to fight poverty. More to come on that. If you live in Clovis, your chance to help pick the new city council districts is coming this next week. And I think the city has two or three workshops on the calendar that you should check the city's Instagram account if you want to attend those. So that's fun if you like to draw map boundaries.
Interesting. Is it common to have public participation in drawing lines like this? Maybe explain it a little bit more.
Because the reason that you have public participation when you draw boundaries is that part of the way that boundaries get, that political boundaries get drawn, is you have to think about how different communities see themselves as part of their identity to avoid chopping up those communities as much as you can.
So like people seeing that their subdivision should be all in one district, for example.
Correct.
Okay.
Fresno High Greater Tower District, and it's been an interesting neighborhood from a gerrymandering perspective or a drawing political boundaries perspective, because on the one hand, you don't want it to be chopped up, because then it's, if no one really owns it, like if there's not one political leader that takes ownership over it, then does anything happen? On the other hand, if you have, I think there's now 4 council members or 3 council members who touch different parts of Tower Fresno High, and then it gives more opportunities for more buy-in to things. So there's 2 sides of the coin on that one.
Gotcha. I also heard that firefighters got a raise this week.
They did get a raise this week.
A significant one?
3%.
Okay.
That's what the police got last year. And it was decided on, it was appropriated. So basically appropriated means the decision was made and they're now setting aside the money. This comes as the city leaders have been pretty transparent about the fact that we're going into a deficit and they're going to have to make major cuts. One of the ways that they're looking to balance the budget this year is by increasing fees. The first fee increase we saw on the table this year is to raise fees on swim lessons.
Good God. Yeah. They can't.
As a former swim instructor, you got to have your people go through
swim the safety is important.
It is very important in this community. So
especially in a community repairing, you know, a river community. Absolutely. We have lots of people that get in rivers over the summer.
On today's Fresnolandia, we have Giselle Medina, Fresnoland's religion and culture reporter, along with Melissa Montalvo, who is the government accountability reporter at the Fresno Bee, to talk about some recent Border Patrol raids throughout the Central Valley that we've seen over the last few days. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So a few days ago, we started to see a lot of activity on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and other social media alerting the community of immigration raids occurring in Bakersfield and Kern County. And in the last 2 days, we've seen activity in Fresno. Melissa, your reporting has confirmed with Border Patrol that as of Friday afternoon, there's been 78 arrests. So where specifically are these raids happening and who is specifically being targeted?
Yeah, that's correct. I really have been focusing on Kern County and the operation that I've been able to confirm with Border Patrol. So this has been called Operation Return to Sender. They're saying they're focusing on just the criminals. They've found two child rapists, aggravated felons, and conducted field operations. This was a 3-day operation that has since concluded. There was basically a team from Border Patrol's El Centro sector down near the border with Mexico. They came up about 60 patrol agents and made these 78 arrests. So that's what we've been able to officially confirm. There have been reported sightings of ICE and Border Patrol in Fresno County, up all the way up to Modesto. We haven't been able to independently confirm this with the agency, but these might be isolated. They might not be connected. But there's a lot of fear and paranoia, understandably so, right now throughout the valley.
The 78 people that were arrested, were all of them arrested under some criminal, like suspicious criminal activity?
That's a really great question, and one that we've tried to pose to the Border Patrol and other officials. And essentially what we've heard from Gregory Bovino, who's the U.S. Border Patrol sector chief from that El Centro team, he said that, again, this was a targeted operation, but his office confirmed with us this morning that there were others who might not have been targeted, not part of this targeted operation, that were arrested through the course of their carrying out the operation. So
taking advantage of opportunity to make ad hoc arrests of people that are not connected, but they could use that as an opportunity, right?
And what else we're hearing is that from UFW Foundation and other immigration advocates on the ground is they think the estimate's higher, not necessarily of arrests, but detainees, maybe people who've been stopped, asked to show their papers. They're saying the number's maybe closer to 200.
Wow.
So a lot of uncertainty. And
Wow. This
information, I think, is still being gathered in real time of how many people have been impacted.
Sure.
Do we know what they're looking for, what types of places they're going to do these raids?
I don't think we know all of that yet. What we're hearing is, at least down in Bakersfield and what's been reported by local TV, local immigration groups, is that there's been activity along Highway 99, even outside of regular places like grocery stores, Home Depots, gas stations. I think there's been some high profile cases. So it's not totally clear. When I tried to pose this question to Border Patrol, they didn't want to share any specific tactics or jeopardize their operations.
So more public places, transportation corridors, places in outlying areas where maybe people go get lunch or something rather than residential.
I haven't specifically heard of residential. I haven't confirmed that. It could be. I know there's been video circulating near fields. A lot of workers, I don't think, have shown up to work. That's what we're hearing from employers. I'm not sure if there's been necessarily like a raid on an employer at a work site, at a field. That doesn't sound like it's happening, but I think just everyone's on alert for anything to happen in the next coming months.
Okay, Giselle, we're going to bring you in. There's been some rumors that Border Patrol is going to show up at Clinica Sierra Vista, a local health clinic with locations across the valley. Have we been able to confirm this activity?
Great question. What we know so far about Clinica Sierra Vista is they actually had a press release that came out today, January 10th, and it just states that they're aware of the recent rumors circulating on social media regarding ICE presence at their facilities, and at the, and quote, at this time, we have not received any credible reports to support these claims. And then the rest of the release just talks about their commitment to a safe space for all and ways that people can receive or need, can ask for help. There's like virtual and phone appointments available and like things like that.
And that brings up a question that I've had, which is, I think if you're on social media, you're seeing lots of sometimes sightings, sometimes the sightings come with pictures, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's speculation, like the rumor that we've seen about Clinica. Is that helpful for people to share that information, or what should people know about the information that's circulating on social media right now?
I do want to say that I think it's actually helpful for people to be aware of the crowdsourced information about immigration sightings, just so that way people can avoid the area if they can, or if they can't, then they'll have the right documentation, or they can have those specific red cards that can display your constitutional rights to be able to give to Border Patrol or ICE or any immigration officials who are trying to stop you or trying to talk to you. I do want to say that I feel like people should rely on various networks, for example, like Rapid Response of Kern, and Faith in the Valley's Watchdog Network. They're doing a lot of on the ground trying to confirm these sightings. And I think just turning to them, they have hotlines if you have any Border Patrol sightings that you want to share on your own. But I think just relying on trusted networks and organizations that are here for immigration rights.
Yeah, it feels like you need to corroborate a little bit. Just relying on social media as your exclusive source of information feels hazardous in this situation.
And I've noticed a trend of sometimes the sightings are being shared by organizations that I'm familiar with. You mentioned Faith of the Valley is one that is doing a lot of this work. And so when it's shared by them, I usually understand, okay, there's some legitimacy here.
Yeah, like I saw one that was literally, someone posted it and it wasn't really demarcated very well, but someone in the comments below attributed the video from like 2017 or something.
Right.
Where, you know, so you really have to be careful, especially in the new world of AI.
Try not to create some mass panic.
I would suggest, as Giselle mentioned, just reaching out to that Valley Watch Network. Their number is 559-206-0151 and sharing that information directly. If you see something directly, sharing the explicit address, location, time of day you saw something, description of a car, if you see a license plate, etc. I'm giving them that information because they have a database that they're corroborating and trying to understand any patterns. And I would exercise caution in sharing anything.
Makes sense. Melissa, do we know why Border Patrol is doing this and not ICE? Can you help us understand jurisdictionally how this world works?
Sure. I think there was a lot of surprise from the Valley and especially immigration groups that were responding on the ground. I think they're all really surprised to see Border Patrol here in Kern County and potentially further beyond, right? So we don't really know why they did this. I think it was a surprise. I don't think it's very common, according to my conversations with local advocates and also with an expert on law and immigration law. So generally, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, tends to enforce immigration law in the interior of the country, while Border Patrol focuses on patrolling the boundary with U.S.-Mexico border, U.S.-Canada border. And they have this kind of a rule of thumb that they're allowed to reasonably, you know, within a reasonable distance from the border, they're allowed to operate as well, conduct searches, stops, and things like that while looking for on people who are here unlawfully. So in short, they're allowed to be here. It's not like they have to stay at the border, Border Patrol. They're allowed to be, they're federal law enforcement officials, and they're allowed to be anywhere in the country. I think those are just different practices that they tend to have. But there is a history of their presence in the Valley. And what we heard was that there's potentially going to be further operations. It's something that we might be able, or we might see further as this administration, President-elect Donald Trump, coming underway here in a couple of days. We don't have a great answer. I think it's just still an unknown about, I think this caught a lot of people off guard, but now people are on alert and just preparing for what's to come.
Isn't it ironic, Donnie? I feel like there was this discourse for such a long time about there's not enough Border Patrol agents, and now they're wandering up the 5 and the 99.
6 hours away from
yes,
the border, 7 hours
it's
away
so
from
strange.
The border. It is so strange. And I know, Melissa, in your story, you talked to some immigration advocates who said this is a really significant and unusual activity. And Giselle, I know you've also been talking to a lot of folks as well who have noted that this is just not a thing that we typically see very often in the Valley. And so maybe this question to both of you, but why, when you're talking to folks, why do they think it's happening now, especially we're on the eve of the Trump inauguration? He hasn't even come into office yet.
That's a great question, Donnie. Yeah, based on my conversations with community organizers who are on the ground, taking into account what is happening, and also just immigration attorneys, there's not really a clear answer. Everyone's just, we don't know. And it might really just be because Trump is coming in a couple days that maybe Border Patrol feels like they can just start doing this, but there's no specific reason as to why. It's definitely strange that it is really unusual the way that they're practicing operations, and as we're reporting and continuing to report throughout the next however long it's going to be that this is happening, I don't think we'll know for sure unless they actually explicitly tell us.
It's so sad that it's happening right now while the fires are going on in Southern California. And I don't know if it's a tactic necessarily while people's attention are somewhere else, because I can't imagine that this was just an impulsive thing. I'm sure it was well planned, but it is, while we're dealing with one crisis, we're adding another one to the mix.
Absolutely.
It could also be like, since a lot of people are fleeing the Southern California area, people are coming towards Central Valley or in other places. So maybe it is, yeah, a tactic to have this happening as the fires are also happening.
And another timing piece of it is Fresno schools start next week, start on Monday. I guess this podcast will come out Tuesday, so schools will be back in session by the time this podcast comes out. And for a lot of families that are visiting Mexico during the holidays, they're coming back this week, so a lot of people are traveling. Giselle, I know you've been, both of you have been talking with a lot of immigration attorneys and community groups about how people can know their rights, prepare should they potentially encounter immigration enforcement. What are some of the key takeaways that you would share that people should know if they or someone they know is undocumented?
The first thing you should do is you should assert your rights, and you should carry a Know Your Rights card with you at hand and handing it directly to agents who are trying to have a conversation with you.
People get those Know Your Rights cards?
It's the Immigration Law Center, the California one, for the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. No. There. Sorry. They are the ones who give out the cards. Anyway. Okay. Okay,
sorry. Continue.
Starting over. I'm so sorry.
No.
So the first thing you should do is you should assert your rights, and if you can, to carry specific red cards from the Immigrant Legal Resource Center that has just a couple little bullet points as to what your constitutional rights are, and you can hand that card to the Border Patrol officer, anyone who is trying to stop you or trying to detain you. That would be your number one. Your number two is, if they do try to detain you, you should immediately ask for a lawyer and remain silent and tell them that you will be remaining silent, and to not sign anything or make any decisions without a lawyer present. If you are arrested or detained, you have the right to make a phone call, and if you choose to use that phone call to call a lawyer, they are not allowed to listen, so you can have a private conversation. You should also just make sure to keep copies of your documents, whatever that would correspond to your status. And then from there, if possible, try to inform your family what's going on, and make sure that you have a plan as to, if this happens, what are next steps?
Yeah, I think, and just broadly as well, because I watch a lot of those videos on TikTok of people being pulled over and they're trying to assert their rights and they're either being bullied or challenged on it. It's, you just got to stay calm, I think. Right. And that's obviously, sitting here in my podcasting seat, very easy to say. If you're facing Border Patrol or some kind of officer of the government, it can be challenging, but staying calm, breathing, not divulging more than you need to.
Melissa, are people avoiding work to avoid getting swept up in these raids? And have you talked to any employers who are concerned and speaking out on this?
I think it's very likely many farm workers are staying home. We have heard from primarily, again, UFW Foundation and other groups on the ground, the Rapid Response of Kern, saying that farm workers and just people going around their day-to-day lives were likely impacted by this. Yeah, I think that's a huge concern. The Kern County Farm Bureau put out a statement saying that they stand by the farm worker community, and they acknowledge that criminals may be the target of this, but they do think...
What does stand by mean? I'd love to know what that means. You know what I mean?
Like, solidarity is a
So like an emotional, sentimental kind of solidarity, or like action solidarity? I'd love to know.
Great question.
That is a great question. But I think the industry is concerned about the ripple effects for their workforce. Just acknowledging that the ag industry depends on a stable and reliable work. CalMatters reported that Casey Creamer, the president of the industry group, the California Citrus Mutual, estimated that, yes, about 25% of the workforce didn't show up, and today 75% didn't show up. So they're in the middle of citrus harvesting, and he said this sent shockwaves through the community. So I think there was circulating videos on TikToks from workers showing kind of empty fields. So that's all I know so far. I'm hoping to connect with more employers as the days go by. But
that's wild. 75%.
That is really wild.
Many residents in Fresno County, but beyond, live in mixed status households with kids enrolled in local schools. I know you've been talking, Giselle, with local schools about how they're planning to address any potential raid activities near schools. Have there been any sightings near schools in Fresno? And what is Fresno Unified's kind of planned response to deal with this?
Yeah, so I've been in communication with the district, Fresno Unified. They've informed me today that there's been one sighting near a school. And as of this afternoon, there's been no immigration officials who have tried to come onto any Fresno Unified campuses at this time. The district actually recently passed a resolution on January 8th committed to schools being safe places from immigration enforcement. Because of this, they have a really detailed step-by-step plan that is online just to talk about how to protect students should immigration enforcement try to enter campus. And in this plan, it details how immigration officials can't access a school campus without a judicial warrant, nor can student information be disclosed without like parent consent or a court order. And that's part of Senate Bill 48. And the plan that they have specifically is district staff, if an immigration official is present on campus, and if the district receives, actually, can I restart that?
Yeah.
Sorry. From there. Or do I
start? Yeah, start from there.
Wherever you'd like.
Sure. Yeah.
Great. The plan that the district has includes staff has a step-by-step plan if an immigration official is present on campus, and that includes like if the district receives like any verbal or written requests for information related to a student's or family's immigration or citizen status, what they'll do. And basically within that, it just ensures that like personal information doesn't get given to immigration officials unless there's consent from the parent / guardian. That's also the case if like immigration officials are trying to interview students. They again need specific consent from parents or guardians before a student can get interviewed or searched by an officer.
Yeah, the legislation's called FERPA. It stands for Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. And it's very restrictive in terms of what you can access by anybody.
Exactly. So if an immigration official is even just on campus, but maybe is in the parking lot and is trying to target specifically parents and students who are like trying to get picked up or dropped off, there is still a step-by-step plan to make sure that like people and families just stay safe.
What's the best way to support families and people who are at risk of deportation right now?
Some things include donating to immigration legal services organizations, maybe volunteering your time to help with case management or translation, maybe advocate for immigration reform by contacting elected officials or just educating yourself about immigration issues. And just if you know of anyone who is affected, just being there emotionally if they need anything.
I would just add that it's really important for people who might be impacted, who might have loved ones impacted, to attend these Know Your Rights workshops. I think there are plenty happening across the valley, lots of information online. So really just educate yourselves on some of these basic rights that we've gone over. Some people have suggestions on just different documents that you should have, maybe in a backpack. Your legal information, identification information, should you or your loved one be detained. So I think everyone should really be knowledgeable about these things. What I heard when I went to a Know Your Rights workshop on Thursday evening here at St. Anthony's in Southeast Fresno, it was really packed over. I think over 100 people were there. And one of the things I heard was that it's when immigration enforcement goes into some of these small rural towns where people don't know their rights, it's easy for someone to be detained because they don't know how to just say not, they don't know that they cannot speak, or they don't know that they have the access to a lawyer, or just different things. They don't know that they don't have to participate. So
are some of these education programs being pushed into outlying areas, your Mendotas, your Firebaugh's, your outlying communities?
I'm not sure. I hope so. Hope so for sure. I'm sure there's a lot of information online, but I hope it's reaching these rural counties, or rural parts of the county rather. And yeah, I think if everyone knows that information and shares it with other people, I think it'll help reduce also some of the misinformation being shared. And yeah, I think one thing I'll just end with is that when I spoke with Edwin Carmona Cruz, who's the director of the California Collaborative for Immigration Justice, he thought this activity that occurred in Kern County this week was indicative of what's to come. So this is the kind of messaging the administration wants to put out. And just, I think everyone needs to be really alert and aware right now.
We're going to close today's podcast with our favorite segment, which is what we're loving this week. I'm going to start. A lot of us, when it comes around to the new year, we have like resolutions to get healthier and do stuff like that. And I grew up, no shade to my mom, but I grew up in a household where like cooking vegetables wasn't taken seriously. I don't want to say that there was a lot of pots with canned green beans inside and water that was steamed, but there were. And so vegetables can be hard for some people. And so I found this cookbook. I actually gave it to my wife for Christmas, but then immediately stole it back from her after she looked through it. And it's this wonderful restaurant in LA called Kismet. And the cookbook that they came out with is really focused on like veggie forward dishes that are fun and exciting. And so this past week, I've been combing through it, trying to cook things. I made this incredible lentil chili this week that was super healthy and super delicious. And so this year, I'm trying to be more fun with veggies. Donnie, what are you loving this week?
That sounds delightful. My husband is really big on routines and getting us back into routines, which is, we all benefit from it in my family.
Yes.
So we've started to implement a night walk with our kids after dinner. And
that's cute.
It is cute. It's so cold right now, but it's cute. And then we get the little space app to find the different constellations.
Have you seen any UFOs?
No, but so many planets are out right now.
Yes. I think Saturn is super bright right now.
It's very bright. We saw Mars. We saw Jupiter.
Doesn't it make you want to buy a telescope?
No. What? Actually, no. I take that back. My husband has one, but it broke.
Oh, no.
Long story.
Okay. I'll go in on a telescope with you if you want.
Cool.
Melissa, what are you loving this week?
Baking.
Baking, okay.
Yes, we love baking.
What do you
here.
Like to bake?
This week, I made some blackberry breakfast bars with a friend, and that's been sustaining my reporting this week.
Sounds like a great way to meal prep, too. Like, you don't have to think about it in the morning. You got the bar ready for you.
Exactly.
What's in these bars?
A lot of butter, a lot of sugar, a lot of berries, and hopefully next week there'll be a blackberry pie.
Ooh, yum. I love a blackberry pie. Giselle, what about you? What are you loving this week?
Really digestible media. So specifically watching Adventure Time with my partner has been really fun. And playing Mario Kart that he got me on the Switch for Christmas. So that's been really great.
What's your character
choice?
Oh, obviously it's Yoshi.
Yoshi, interesting.
Big Yoshi stan. Love Yoshi. That's
okay.
My guy.
Wait, I want to know everyone else's Mario Kart character.
Okay, so my wife and I fight over one character because she's convinced he's the fastest, Waluigi. And so as soon as we start it up, she like moves her little cursor as fast as she can so she can get Waluigi.
Whoa, I've never tried.
She's very intense about it. So I choose whatever. I'm indifferent to the different characters. Okay. But I always choose a motorcycle, I'll say that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good choice. What about you, Melissa? You don't have a Mario Kart character.
I think the last time I played Mario was Nintendo 64.
Oh my gosh.
And I think I just bounced back between Mario and Luigi.
We've talked about doing a Nintendo Day at Fresnoland because we're all gaming nerds.
You would be blown away by how great it is now on the Switch.
It is
incredible.
So great.
It's incredible.
It is really great.
I saw recently, just TikTok's not banned yet. I saw it this week. There's a like a party somewhere, some big city, where they bring a live band to play the Mario Kart music while Stop. They race, and they put it on a big screen. Good God, can Fresno get that?
Oh, please. My gosh, sign
There'd
up.
There'd be like a wait around the block.
That might be that. My birthday party this year.
We should do that. I will help facilitate this.
Perfect.
But most importantly, who's your character?
So for a long time, I was about Cat Peach because I love cats. But I've recently gone back to Wario because I love villains. I love villains so much. So yes. Wario is my dude.
They have the best laughs.
They do.
Well, I'm not gonna imitate Waluigi.
You don't want me to hear.
But it's like it's very much.
It's perfect.
So my wife definitely laughs like that when she wins because she beats me every time. This has been Fresno Landia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan, and our song comes from Stateless Rat.